Hey everybody, it's Adam, live and in person for you. Hey everybody, it's Adam, wonder who he'll interview.
Hey everyone, it's Call Me Adam, live from the Green Room 42 in New York City. And on today's episode of Bearing It All with Call Me Adam, I chat with indie pop artist Payson Lewis. We discuss everything from his personal life to his new music video for his latest single, Nothing to You. So stay tuned. Hi, Payson.
Hey, how are you?
Good. It's so great to have you on the show.
It is an honor to be here. We've been talking for so many years.
I know.
It's great to finally be on the show with
yes.
you live.
Terrific. So let's get things started because we have a lot to talk
yeah,
about.
Yeah, let's get into it.
So it's been about a year and a half since our last interview. Mm-hmm. At that time, you were getting ready to release your debut EP, Take Me Apart, which came out in early 2019. So what has been happening with you in this past year and a half?
Well, it's been a really crazy year and a half. Take Me Apart came out, so there was a lot of promotion for that and shows, live shows in LA. And ever since, I've recorded an entire new EP and written like a ton more songs that we're jumping back right back into the studio to start recording. So it's been a really creatively active year. And, you know, just gigging around LA, keeping busy, playing shows, making music videos. The things that independent artists do, you know, just
yes.
keeping myself really busy.
That's awesome. Do you have a time frame as to when the new EP might be coming out?
Yeah, I mean, well, you know, as all these things are, it's sort of fluid. But
yes.
So that the EP is recorded, it's ready to go, it's done. We'll see if it ever actually comes out as an EP or whether it becomes, you know, a number of singles or, you know, little mini EPs. So the release schedule is not exactly firm, but okay. The first song off of it, Nothing to You, came out in October, and I have another single coming out in March, and then from there we'll see how it goes. It depends how far along in the next recording process I am before I release all these songs that are finished. It's you know, I like to stay fluid with this kind of stuff.
Yeah,
'cause
yeah.
as a creative person, you get waves of inspiration and excitement over things. Mm-hmm. And I think it's important to follow those waves as opposed to just staying locked into some grid that you've, an arbitrary grid that you've made for yourself.
Yes. Yes. And I know in our previous interviews, you've mentioned that you're very free flowing, like, especially when it came to, at that time we were talking about the difference between your acting and music, and you are very like, let's see how it goes
yes.
and where it takes you.
So, yeah. I've always yeah. been a go with the flow kind of person.
So before we get into your new stuff, which I know you did just mention mm-hmm. your latest single, Nothing to You.
To tease it
no,
too much.
It's okay. It's okay. It's always good to tease it because it gives people something to stay excited
there
for.
There we go. There we go.
So let's go back to the beginning of your career for a little
sure.
bit. So you came to national attention when you were on NBC's Sing Off,
yes.
where you placed fourth. So tell me how you came to want to be on that competition show as opposed to, say, American Idol.
Sure. Well, that was such an interesting experience. The Sing Off was a show that ran for, I think, 3 or 4 seasons.
Yes.
I lost track at some point. But it was an a cappella group singing show. And so I had been in a collegiate a cappella group when I was at USC. And our group, the spring before the Sing-Off aired, mm-hmm. we won this thing called the International Championship of Collegiate a cappella, which is the ICCA. So if you've seen Pitch Perfect,
uh-huh.
that's like a real life competition.
Oh, wow.
And my group in college had won it. So the producers of the Sing-Off actually approached us about being on the show as opposed to us auditioning
uh-huh.
for the show.
Wow.
So again, it was not something that I had planned or chosen. But when I was actually working on a cruise ship at the time, I just graduated and it was my first job out of college, and I was in the middle of the Pacific Ocean, and I, you know, the one day that we get internet service or something, my phone blew up with emails from people being like, where are you? We get, you know, we're supposed to be on this show. Do you want to be on the show? So
oh my
gosh. I took a plane at our next port and flew back to LA. And the next thing I know, we were on the Sing-Off.
That's incredible.
Yeah. It was a crazy whirlwind sort of experience.
Yeah. Yeah. That actually sort of leads into my next question.
Sure.
What can you tell me about your experience on the show?
It was really amazing experience. It was my first TV appearance. And working on that show was amazing. The team behind it was great. Working with Deke Sharon, who's like huge in the world of acapella, and you know, Nick Lachey was the host, which was fun. And Ben Folds was one of the judges, who was someone I grew up listening to, and Sean Stockman of Boys to Men, which was another huge influence of mine growing up. So getting to meet them was amazing. Mm-hmm. And it was really fun because we were competing on this show, and it was me and a group of eight of my other best friends from college.
Wow.
So, you know, usually when you go onto these reality TV shows, it's you against the world. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And on this show was really nice because we had that group of friends. We had a base. We had people that we could confide in when things were tough. But it was a really great experience, and I'm extremely thankful for it. And like you said, it was what really launched my career in a lot of ways. It's what led to me finding my first agent, which led to me booking my first couple shows, which, you know, in this life, everything is a domino set.
Yes.
So like that was the first domino to fall, I suppose.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yes. Yes. One show you were on, which was one of my favorite shows, was Revenge.
Yes.
Yes. Yeah. That was a lot of fun.
Revenge was great.
Yeah.
Working with Emily was fantastic.
Oh, I bet.
Yeah, it was just, that was a really fun show, really fun day. I had such a small part, but everyone on the set made me feel super welcome, and it was really great. And like you said, it was a good show.
Yeah.
So you don't always get to choose what shows you go on
right.
to. So when you book one that you actually like, it's always a nice added bonus.
Yes.
You're like, yes, people will actually like watching me on this one.
Exactly. So let's get into current projects.
Cool. Yeah.
So your new video for your single, Nothing to You, is dropping January 10th.
January, yes.
Yes. So what do you want to tell our listeners? Well, I guess they're my listeners because there's no one else who does this podcast besides
me. There we go.
What do you want to tell my listeners about this song?
Sure, yeah. Nothing to You is a song that I wrote after, it wasn't immediately after, but inspired by getting out of a relationship where I had been marginalized in the relationship. I am always sort of a provider and a giver in relationships, and this one had kind of gone to the extremes where I felt that that's all I was doing. It was a give and give, and for her, it was a take and take and take. And so I still cared about her deeply, but I knew that for my own sanity and well-being, I had to get out of the relationship. Mm-hmm. So the songwriting process started with a line that was, I'd rather be nothing to you than half of me. Mm-hmm.
Which is such a powerful line.
Thank you. Yeah. And from there, it just kind of all, it wrote itself really quickly. And it actually was the first song that I ever wrote with my now prolific songwriting partner, Brooke Jenkins, who, as my music continues to come out over the next couple of years, you'll see and hear her name a lot more. We've written a ton of songs together. But we wrote Nothing to You actually on the very first day we met. I went over to her apartment. We had been referred to each other. And about an hour and a half later, we had written this song.
Oh,
and we were like, okay, so we're going to write together more often.
Yes.
But yeah, and I'm really excited about this music video. It's going to be really fun.
Yeah, it's incredible. I got a sneak peek of it.
Okay, good.
So
good.
I love it.
Thank you.
I have some very specific things about it,
please,
that I love. First of all, I think the song will be relatable to everybody, because who has not felt like they were invisible in a relationship
right.
at some point? At least until they decided to leave, which I love how that's illustrated in the music video.
Great.
That whole, like, arc of the
Good.
Story.
Thank you.
But I also love the way the video is executed and all the references you have of being invisible. Like, at one point, you're an ashtray. At another point, you're a book stand. At another point, you're a pool boy. Although I will say I kind of disagree that you would be ignored as a pool boy. But, you know, in the video, it's just executed very well that
Thank
way.
Thank you.
And those references really help drive the song home.
Yeah,
that way.
When I was planning the music video with the director Colin Duffy, we were sitting around and thinking about ways that we would illustrate this, you know, being marginalized and being pushed aside and ignored, and we wanted to do it in a way that was both literal and metaphoric at the same time. So we were just sitting, we were having coffee, and you know, we were talking about like just blending into the background, and at one point I think I said something about like, yeah, it's like I was actually, I just become the furniture. And so that is what inspired the video. So we were, you know, talking about like, you know, being the table, being the footstool, mm-hmm. being the ashtray. The ashtray one is my yes. personal favorite.
Did yeah. you actually have to eat?
Yes.
Oh my
yes.
God.
it was a clove cigarette. Okay. So it wasn't like nicotine and tobacco.
Good. That's good.
But it was pretty gross.
Yeah.
It was not cute. Yeah.
And how many times did you have to eat it?
Honestly, that was probably the shot that took the longest.
Yeah.
We might have done, I don't know, 10, 12 takes. We went through like four different clove cigarettes.
Oh my
and
God.
It's a complicated video because we were using like a vintage lens. And so you have to, at the same time that you're zooming in and out, the focus has to turn at the same time.
Yes.
And they're operated by two different people. And so we were just like not syncing it up. And it was one that you just like had to get exactly right.
Right.
And so we just kept taking it over and over again. And I would like clear my mouth out with water after each take. And then, of course, in the final edit, we only get the part that's like close up, which we kind of probably could have done in like one take
right.
or two. But we were trying to do this really complicated shot, and it ended up being just like the simplest version of it. And my water bottle that I was washing my mouth out with after each take like smelled like cloves for weeks on it.
God.
No matter how many times I wash it, it still smelled like ash. It was so gross.
Oh my God. Well, it was a very effective move.
Well,
yes,
thank you.
You're
yeah,
welcome.
We were trying to go for a bit of a shock value there.
Yes, right? Yes. I was definitely not expecting that.
Right.
And when I saw it, I was like, okay.
Yeah, exactly.
But it drives the message of the song.
Good, good, good.
Definitely home. What was the most fun part about filming the music video?
Before we get to that answer, let's take a quick break and get a word in from one of our sponsors. We'll be back in a minute. Oh, wait. You don't know? You haven't heard? You must not be subscribed to the Call Me Adam Digest. When you sign up for the Call Me Adam Digest, you are the first to know. You get a front row seat to my interviews and podcast episodes, where you get to discover new things about your favorite celebrities. You get personal stories from the other side of the microphone that you wouldn't know by just reading, watching, or listening to my interviews. We get to have a weekly connection, and you can add some fun to your weekend. So come take a peek behind the curtain with the Call Me Adam Digest. Sign up today at callmeadam.com. Can't wait to see you there. Welcome back to Burying It All with Call Me Adam. So as you were saying.
The most fun was the main girl, mm-hmm. I guess she's the bad guy in the video.
Right,
I guess.
She's the girl that
girl.
Not the girl that the song is about, but
sure, sure.
In the video.
Yes, in the video she portrays this girl.
Yes.
And maybe even an over the top version
yes.
of her. The girl who's playing is a really great friend of mine, Jessie LeRae, and she's amazing. And just working with her was fantastic because, you know, I had executive produced this video, and so you're wearing multiple hats
yeah.
on stage or on set that day because I'm making sure everybody's set up and taken care of, and I'm also in it, and I'm making sure that the shots are looking okay. And Jessie was like a really calming presence on set because I was going a little crazy.
Yeah.
And she was like, you got this, it's cool. And I was like, thank you so much for being here, Jessie, which is the opposite of what the song is about,
right,
obviously.
Right, yes.
But yeah, and you know, everyone who worked on it was a friend or a close colleague. So we filmed the whole video in one day.
Wow.
And it was just, you know, it was like 6 a.m. set up until about 10 o'clock that
wow.
night. And just working with Colin and Jessie and my friends Jennifer and Jardin were fantastic, and they made it really easy for me.
That's incredible.
Yeah, it was really fun.
I'm always amazed at how long it takes to film something to get like the videos, you know,
right.
around 3 minutes.
Right.
It's like you spent More than 12 hours.
More than 12 hours.
And it's and
so
it's,
much. And then there's all the edit. And of course, like, you don't use all the stuff right. that you did, mm-hmm. that you took. And, mm-hmm. And there was more that we didn't get that we wanted to get.
Yeah.
You know, we just ran out of time.
Yeah.
And the scene out by the pool actually was particularly hectic because we were fighting against the sun. We were like about to lose light. So everyone was like running around like, go, go, go. We got to get this shot right now. If we don't get it in 5 minutes, like, we're not getting it.
Wow.
And, but you know, by the skin of our teeth, we finished it and got what we needed.
You got it.
Yeah.
And now you did mention also you were the executive producer on the
yeah.
music video. So what do you like about being in that role?
Nothing. I hate that role. I mean, I like it because you get what you want,
right.
you know, and I get to hire the people that I want mm-hmm. to do on it. And I do get a lot of creative input on mm-hmm. it. But for me, that's not why I got into this business. Mm-hmm. The creative aspect of it is great, but the logistical, like, you know, I'm running, I'm picking up craft services and I'm making sure everybody's paid and all the organizing and timelines and everything, which is not particularly my strong suit, mm-hmm. but it's something that I have learned to do because it's a necessity of being a solo independent yes. artist. Is no one else is going to do it if you don't do it.
Right. So will you continue with it on your future videos?
Until I have someone who's better at it than me mm-hmm. and willing and I build my team out a little bit more. You know, I'm exaggerating. It's not horrible.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's stressful and yeah. it makes your job when you're performing in the video a little bit more difficult mm-hmm. because you're thinking about everything else
right.
that's going on.
Right.
But you know, that's how it gets done. And at the end of the day, the bonus is that you get an added sense of pride mm-hmm. and like accomplishment
yes.
because you know every single bit of work that went into it.
Yes. And it's really your full creative vision
yes.
that you wanted.
Right, so. Exactly. So that's always great. And you know, Colin and I work together to build this vision out. But mm-hmm. like even having him be the director was something that was a choice that I made. And the direction of the concept was something that we came up together. So I did all the wardrobe for it and I am not
wow.
a costumer. So it's like every little thing when you see the tiny things, you're like, yes, that looks exactly how I wanted it to. Oh man, that shot looks so cool. That's what I wanted. So we're just, you watch the final product with a different sense of pride and accomplishment and,
yeah.
and you can't really get that anywhere else.
Right. Right. Well, you should be very proud of it.
Thank
yeah,
you very much.
Really
I'm excited for everybody
it.
To see it.
Yeah. I think everyone's going to love it and it's really going to, I know I keep saying this phrase, but it keeps driving the song home.
Great.
Yeah.
Great. That's, yeah. you know, that's what we're going for.
Yeah. Terrific. So we're going to switch gears right now and we're going to play a game
okay.
called Take Me Apart, which
okay.
is
okay.
playing off of the title of your debut EP.
Yes.
So in this game, we're basically going to find out more about you.
All right.
Yeah.
All right.
So what TV shows are you watching / streaming or binging right now?
Okay. Well, I don't watch a ton of TV, but I am watching three shows right now.
Okay.
One is His Dark Materials on HBO.
Okay.
And mainly because I read the books as a kid and it's a little nostalgic. And it's a dark look at those books, which is fun. Mm-hmm. I'm watching Nancy Drew on the CW.
Yes.
Part of relationship responsibility.
My
girlfriend is on the show.
Yes. Yes. If as you have, I follow your Instagram.
Yes.
So I had a feeling
yeah,
you would be watching.
So yeah. I'm really into Nancy Drew. Everyone should watch CW 8 o'clock on Wednesdays. And I'm finally catching up on The Wire, which is an old HBO
oh, yeah.
show,
mm-hmm.
Which I had been hearing about for years and years. And finally I had one day when I was just felt like sitting in my pajamas and watch TV. And I was like, what should I watch? I started watching The Wire and I'm totally hooked. I'm just finishing up the second season. And I think there are three more after that. So it earned its reputation.
Amazing.
So, yeah, it's a good show.
Amazing. I know everybody listening to this podcast is listening to your music. And if they're not after this interview, they're definitely going to be listening
I hope
to
so.
Your music.
Thank you.
You're welcome. But I want to know, who do you listen to?
Okay. So another thing that I'm kind of dreadfully bad at, considering what I, the amount that I should be listening to, but I blame part of it on the fact that I'm writing and doing it a lot. And also I listen to a lot of my friends' music, which is a big thing. So many of my friends are artists, so I'm always supporting their new music.
We'll give them a plug.
Oh, sure. Yeah. So some people that I really like, my friend Jeunesse is amazing. Her songwriting is amazing. Julia Golia, Sigs, Kenton Chen or Bridesman, Olivia Cooper Harris. I mean, there's so many. I literally, my Spotify playlist basically looks like my Instagram feed. It's like just all the same people.
I love it.
But some of like the mainstream people that I listen to, mostly listen to like pop stuff and some like Maggie Rogers and Julia Michaels, Phineas, Billie Eilish, Kacey Musgraves. Mm.
So good.
I don't dig as deep as I used to, especially when I'm, you know, finishing up a songwriting session or a recording or anything. I'm just trying to look for something like quick and escapey.
Yes.
It's just easiest with kind of like pop music
for me. Yeah, I get it. Yeah. I totally get it. What's your favorite skincare line or regimen?
I'm pretty basic when it comes to that stuff. I'm like soap and water. I have, I guess I use some like Kiehl's and...
Okay.
I don't know. My girlfriend gave me some eye cream. I don't even know what it does. She just told me to put it on and I do it.
Okay.
But yeah, mostly just I wash my face in the shower and then I... wash it when I go to bed. I'm not too advanced with that kind of stuff.
All right. Well, at least you're doing it twice a day, which is very healthy. I try and keep it clean.
You know, moisturize when I can.
Good. As long as you're not using like hand lotion for moisturizing.
Yeah, hand lotion.
You're using like legit facial moisturizer.
Yeah, yeah,
okay,
exactly.
Great.
But like I said, it's not a strong suit of mine.
Yeah. I'm a big fan of Origins.
Okay,
so
Origins.
I've been using it for 20 years. Great. So. Yeah,
I probably should know more about this stuff. It's like one of those things. It's like taxes when you grow up. You're like, why didn't anyone tell me about this?
Right.
But
well, I'm telling you now.
I'm going to go out and get some Origins.
If you need help, we can always do shopping.
Sounds
data
good.
Origins.
Sounds good.
Yeah. Okay. So while everybody is following you on Instagram, who do you love following on Instagram and Twitter?
Oh, gosh. Okay. So I'm a really big basketball fan. Mm-hmm. So I follow a lot of like NBA related Instagrams. I like sports highlights, and there's one that's called No Context NBA where they just take random photos that without any context allude to something completely different than a game of basketball. Mm-hmm. But you know, I guess I'm similar to my listening habits. I'm much more of a communal Instagram, Twitter person, so I'm following my friends. I want to know what's going on in their lives.
Yeah.
Less so than, you know, following celebrities. And sometimes because most of the people that I follow are contemporaries and colleagues and friends, sometimes I see like the few celebrities that I do follow, they pop up and I'm like, oh, wait, that's that person. Like, they're doing something amazing. You know what? I like following The Rock. I've been a fan of his since his wrestling days as a kid. And he's just an amazing, hardworking, like accomplished guy, and has a great attitude about stuff. And so he like makes you feel good about like working hard and stuff like that. So,
yes, that's amazing.
I don't know.
Favorite flavor M&M?
Are there different?
There's plain peanut.
I'm a peanut butter guy.
Okay.
Peanut butter for sure.
Love it.
Peanut butter chocolate combination for me is like, that's it. That's all
solid.
I need.
Solid, yes.
Oh my God.
Yes. Yeah. And since you were going to say color, what's your favorite M&M color?
That's why I was going to ask. I didn't think that they had different flavors.
Yeah.
But let's go with blue.
All right. Yeah. Awesome. I love it.
Blue.
Favorite kind of donut?
Let's see. I guess glazed?
Yes.
Oh, I do like maple bacon.
Oh.
Except I'm vegetarian, so that's sort of like a vestige of a bygone era. When I was younger, I used to really enjoy maple bacon donuts. But yeah, glazed, just classic, simple, doughy, and sweet.
I love it.
Yeah, I'm not super fancy.
Okay. And where do you want to travel to that you have not been before?
Let's see. God, there are so many places. I have wild wanderlust. I just need to like go everywhere. But I'm really itching for like some Southeast Asia, like Vietnam, Cambodia, Thailand. But I've also never been to like France and Italy, and I feel like those are just obviously you have to go at some point. Yes. So we'll put those on the list.
Okay.
We'll start there.
Terrific. Favorite color?
Blue.
I had a feeling.
Yeah.
Oh, then I'm so glad my mic covers are blue.
I knew I was in the right spot. We got the blue mic
definitely
covers.
Definitely. Okay, so we're gonna just switch gears again, and we're gonna go back to some questions.
Great.
And we're actually getting towards the end of the interview. I know,
it goes
so fast. So with so many of your songs about relationships, what is your ideal date night?
Okay, so ideal date night.
Obviously with your girlfriend.
Well, of course, right? You know, I'm a low-key kind of person, so it would definitely be a nice meal, but not fancy, just like I'm a hole-in-the-wall kind of guy, so, you know, maybe not the Guy Fieri version of diners, drive-ins, and dives or whatever, but like something like that where you're like, oh, I heard this place. It's like in a strip mall, but it's amazing. It's like an amazing meal. And then I guess just like a Netflix and chill. Maybe that's a product of being in a long-term relationship. Mm-hmm. Like I can't remember going out and doing stuff like that. Or you know what? My date would be going to see a show.
Oh, nice.
Go to see a Broadway show, go to see a live music show, and a good meal, and then ice cream at the end. I'm a big ice cream guy.
I love ice cream.
Ice cream, that's,
What's your favorite flavor? Do you remember watching your favorite celebrity being interviewed, but you could tell there was more to that interview than what was being shown? My name is Adam Rothenberg, and in the past 16 years, I have interviewed over 2,200 artists and celebrities. And I am here to tell you that yes, there is definitely more to the interviews you have watched, read, or listened to. In my debut book, Behind the Curtain, The Mistakes, Lessons Learned, and Triumphs of Interviewing Celebrities, I take you behind the scenes of what really happens during an interview, sharing the joys, the pitfalls, and the OMG moments. You can get your copy on Amazon or through my entertainment platform, callmeadam.com. You can get your very own autographed copy.
I'm a coffee ice cream.
Oh, okay. Nice.
I love coffee ice cream. I'm also sadly addicted to coffee in all forms as I'm drinking my giant iced coffee and it's 30 degrees outside. Yes. Any date, honestly, now that I'm saying it out loud, any date that ends with ice cream, for me, that's a perfect date.
In addition to your music video, Nothing to You, which is dropping January 10th, what else can we expect from you in 2020?
Okay, so the music video, January. I have another single coming out in March, a song called Making Trouble. And I've been planning a music video for that one as well, so we'll probably shoot that in January or February, and the next single will come out in March, maybe the video in April or early May. And then I have a single lined up for each month of the year. Season of the year.
Okay.
So, and again, this is the plan as things are known to change.
Right.
But
God will tell you whether it's really happening or not.
God or whatever, universal flying spaghetti monster, whatever. They will tell me what is actually going to happen.
Right.
But I have, I'm going to be back in the studio. So, like I said, if something comes out of the studio that I'm extremely excited about and need to get out sooner or whatever, that's all part of the plans.
So I always end my interviews by playing off of the title of my podcast, Bearing It All with Call Me Adam. So if you were to bear it all and reveal something about yourself that you haven't told previously, what would you tell me today?
Okay. This is tough. This is definitely bearing it all. You know, you have to get vulnerable, I guess.
Yes.
I don't know. I'm generally an open book about anything. If you ask me anything, I'm happy to tell you. But I guess the only thing is, and I don't mean to be a downer at all, it's just that sometimes doing all this stuff and creating is like, is really challenging mm-hmm. And vulnerable. And there, you know, every once in a while you'll see something pop up on your Instagram feed or someone telling you about things that they're struggling with that you don't always talk about. And I'm no different. Mm-hmm. So there are a lot of emotional ups and downs in this career. And, yes. Sometimes the downs are pretty deep. You mm-hmm. know, you beat yourself up over things. You're not where you want to be. You're working hard. And I don't know, it's just, it's vulnerable. Mm-hmm. And, a lot of times we come on interviews like this and in press and any public forum, it was trying to exude confidence and yes. invulnerability and just like this veneer and this mm-hmm. persona. And for the most part, I generally think that I'm a positive person, mm-hmm. but I'd be lying if I said that there weren't days that I'm like in bed thinking that I'm terrible and I don't want to get up mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. what's it all for? Why am I even bothering? I should just quit and do something else. Mm-hmm. So I don't really talk about that as much. And, but it's a very real, a real thing that, creative people and artists have to struggle with. Mm-hmm. And it's certainly something that I struggle with too. So, I'm, you know, I have days when I just want to bury your head in a pillow and cry. Yes. You want to, Corky Sinclair, I just want to go home and bite my pillow.
It's nice to share that with everybody. Cause I definitely think people, I know in watching interviews of everybody I love or conducting interviews, you're right. Everyone does want to put their best foot forward right. and just show the best side of me, but you're human like everybody else. Right. And we all do have those days where we're not so confident with right. who we are, what we're doing.
And it's so hard because what most people put, and you know, you see this in all those like Instagram versus mm-hmm. reality posts. So much of what we see is curated and highlights.
Yes.
And it's very easy to beat yourself up and think like, oh, well, why aren't I always perfect? Like that mm-hmm. person's always perfect. But we don't see behind their curtain.
Right.
You know,
right.
We don't see the days that they don't want to get out of bed or the yes. days that, you know, they didn't get something that they really wanted. Mm-hmm. You know, I just recently had a call back for a gig that I really, really wanted to get and didn't get it. Mm. And it really sucked.
Mm-hmm.
And
especially when you really wanted it.
Right. Yeah, and so, yeah. but, and you walk out of there thinking like, oh man, I never get anything. And all these other people, like they got their things and he got that and she got that. And then you forget like, oh, well, what about all the things I didn't get?
Yes.
And you just have to remind yourself that,
You mean what about all the things you did get?
Well, all the things that I did get and all the things that, like, the people that you're jealous of
right.
Like,
think
of
what they didn't get, yeah.
Because they don't post about
right.
the things
exactly.
that they didn't get
exactly.
and the days that they feel like they got slighted or whatever
right.
or anything like that.
Yes.
So I'm trying to be better about, with my public image, mm-hmm. being a little bit more honest about mm-hmm. those things because I feel like the curated and perfect veneer that everyone is putting up is difficult standard for people to live
yes.
up to. So I'm trying to be more open about my own vulnerability and mm-hmm. imperfections and,
yes.
and hope that, that inspires people to know that it's okay.
I think that's incredible.
To not be perfect and struggle and work hard and get back up.
That's wonderful. Well, I appreciate you being so open.
Oh,
I mean, you've
sorry.
Always been open in our interviews. I mean, people can go back and read about
yes,
the other
do.
Things you,
yeah.
you've talked about. But yeah, I always appreciate your upfrontness and vulnerability.
I try to be. You know,
yeah.
it's a. I hope it's helpful to someone. So.
It is. Good. It is. Definitely.
And thank you.
You're welcome. You're welcome. Well, that is the whole interview. Everybody listening, tune into Payson's music on streaming platforms everywhere, including Spotify and iTunes. And you can actually download his music on iTunes. Don't forget to download it. That's very important
yes,
as well.
Yes.
And follow Payson on Instagram and Twitter at Payson Lewis. And on Facebook, Payson Lewis Music.
That's it.
Thank you so much for coming.
Adam, thank you so much for having
You're
me.
Welcome.
This was such a pleasure.
Oh, I'm so glad. I had
awesome.
Such a great time.
Yeah, me too.
Awesome. See you in 2020.
I'll see you in 2020.
Yes.
He'll get the dirt and the scoop and the story, for he happens to be in the know. Just ask anybody who's Adam. Adam lives for the business of show. Call me Adam.com.
Thanks for listening. For more Call Me Adam interviews, visit callmeadam.com and follow me on social media on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at Call Me Adam NYC.